through 11. Bible says here, starting off with verse number 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray for your blessing upon this evening. I ask that you would just simply speak to our hearts through your word. Lord, may this not be just a closing service on Sunday, but may we truly look to see what you have for us here in this text, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Here we see three different temptations of Jesus, all brought to him by the devil himself, and brought to him in different ways. And so it would be wise for us to look at this and to see the different ways that we are tempted, and to make sure that we biblically battle the temptation here. I really like verse number 1. It's a blessing to my heart. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness," okay? The devil did not lead him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It was actually the Holy Spirit of God that led him into the wilderness, not just to fast for 40 days, but once those 40 days were done, then he would be tempted by the devil. Now, I tried to look for some things about what it would be like to not eat for 40 days and 40 nights. I can assume that Jesus drank water. I can assume that. I heard you can't go long without water. So I don't, if anybody knows anything different, you can say to me after the service. But still, not eating for 40 days and 40 nights, just think about how weak that you would be. Okay? I was actually weak this morning while I was preaching. I got a little bit hungry and my blood sugar got low. Thankfully, the Lord was able to bring me out of it. But I had to pray a little bit this morning as I was preaching. Lord, give me the strength to keep going, because I could feel my body getting a little bit weaker. Okay? And I ate this morning. Jesus did not eat for 40 days and 40 nights. Imagine how weak he was as a man. Not just physically. Of course, you can just view it in your eyes, and maybe you could find somebody who's fasted before for that long and see what they look like. But he was incredibly weak. And by the way, yes, he was God, but he was also a man, which means that he was hungry. I don't even see that anybody was with him at this time. It seems like he may have just been alone between him and God. And of course, the devil came to him after he had fasted. But this was all God's plan. God the Father's plan for Jesus was for him to go to the wilderness to fast for 40 days and then to be tempted by Satan. Jesus Christ certainly had a tough time here on this earth. And for us, that's a good thing, because the Bible says he knows how to make intercession for us, because he went through so many tough times himself. So when he sees our hardships and our trials and our difficulties, he is able to empathize. I forget what the difference between empathy and sympathy, but one of them, whichever it is, he's able to have that for us because he's experienced many of the same things. And that's why he can pray to the Father. And God the Father is not going to ignore the Son. So we have Jesus greatly on our side, and God the Father is too, of course, but because He has experienced so many things that we have experienced, He experienced this great hunger. I am not ever planning in my life to fast for 40 days. That is not in my plan. I can't imagine how weak I would be. But Jesus most assuredly was very weak. And I'm sure with his physical appetites, I'm sure that he wished he could have had some food, but he knew that wasn't the Father's will. The Father's will was for him to fast for 40 days. I think that's pretty clear. I think it's basically a command of God that he was supposed to do this. And it can give us a great comfort because he withstood his physical appetite and other things, even from the temptation of Satan. Jesus had all power to do whatever he wanted to do. He could have turned those stones to be made bread, but he did not do it because that was not the Father's will. So Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That was the plan. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, it seems like to me that the devil came to him to tempt him after 40 days and 40 nights, especially, and the Bible says here in verse number 2, he was afterward an hungry. You say, that's not any surprise there. I would be hungry too. I'd be hungry after 4 or 5 hours of not eating. He, of course, was, but I'm sure this hungry means something very intense. Okay, this is not just, man, I'm hungry, I want to eat something. When it says he was afterward, after 40 days and 40 nights, so this is something that was especially intense. He was a very hungry man. Could have easily given into temptations. You know what? There are times in our life where giving into a temptation is very easy. Because we think to ourselves that right now the consequences would not be very strong for me, so I can get away with it. And also, you can rationalize certain things. Well, I can do this, I can do that, this makes sense, that makes sense. Jesus was hungry. Now, I think he knew he couldn't die because he had to die on the cross. But at the same time, his body was probably weak enough to die. And he could rationalize it and say, well, I need to go to the cross, I better eat something, otherwise I might die here. Now, of course, Jesus knew that he was supposed to die on the cross, but he could have done all these things. And by the way, I do believe in the impeccability of Jesus Christ. He was fully God, so he could not have sinned, but yet he was still a man. And he felt all of the pain of this, these 40 days and 40 nights. So he is weak, just like we often get weak. Or sometimes we get on what's called cloud nine and we just don't think anything is going to affect us and we think we can get away with it. But also many times we are also very weak. When I was preaching every Sunday at some of the churches that I've been at, I always noticed that my weakest day was Monday. Because I would always pour my heart out on Sunday and I would be, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's hard to explain after you preach for a day. It really is. I'm sure Pastor Ketchum could tell you something about it. But it's just very different. You leave it all, you know, like players, they're supposed to leave it all on the field. As preachers, we leave it all. And it's almost like there's a burden taken off our back when we leave church on Sunday night and we just kind of get into relax mode, which affects us for the next day. Because we stay in relaxed mode, at least I do. I don't anymore because I got to go to work. But it just kind of affected me. So Monday was always my weakest day. But here, Jesus was weak because he hadn't eaten anything for 40 days. I think it's also possible. I don't see people being around him. I think he was just probably greatly affected by everything. And who knows what the weather was like either. But when the tempter came, well, I want to see verse number 2. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungry. And when the tempter came to him, it sounds like the tempter came to him after he got done with the 40 days and 40 nights, all in the plan of God. You know what? That 40 days and 40 nights was probably a long time to him. It may have seemed like more than 40 days and 40 nights. I can't imagine what that would have been like. But as the tempter comes to him, as Satan comes to him in his great hunger and in his great weakness, Satan says to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." He could have turned those stones into bread. But he didn't, because it was the Father's will at this time for him to keep fasting. He was going to be obedient to the Lord. So a verse in Hebrews I never paid attention to a whole lot is Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 8. I'm going to read that for you. You can turn there if you would like to. But it speaks about the obedience of Christ to the Father. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 8. Hebrews 5 and verse number 8 says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." I've never paid attention much to that verse, but I want to. I think that's pretty deep there. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Obedience to the Father. That's a very interesting verse. And we kind of see it here in Matthew chapter number 4. He was suffering greatly. Fasted 40 days. But the Father did not want Jesus to eat. You know what Jesus could have done? He could have acted independently of God, the Father. He could have acted independently of him. And decided for himself what was best for him. And so in verse number 4, "But he answered and said to Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone." In other words, Satan, the emphasis is not about the bread, but the emphasis is about every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, this is obviously a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 8 and verse number 3. Where this is spoken from. But there's something about these verses that I want to bring out that I think is important that can affect us. When Jesus says, "It is written," you hear Pastor bring it up on occasion, the "is there" is in the perfect tense, which means that an action took place at a certain time, and the effects of that action, the results of that action, or I'll say the effect of that action, continue on forever. So when the Bible says, "It is written," the emphasis is on the "is," not "was." "It is written for today. I have it for today, Satan." This can help us in our battle against Satan. "It is written." Currently, right now, I have the authority of God found in the Word of God that I am supposed to resist your temptation based on what the Bible says. I can do that right now. Because I have it. It is alive for me right this very second. He could have acted independently of the Lord and decided what is best for him, but he was going to be obedient to the Father. Even in his incredible weakness, he was going to be obedient to God the Father because it was obviously God that wanted him to hunger. God wanted him to do this. I think many times, now that's a trial, for sure. I think many times God puts us through something like that too. It may not be physical hunger, but it might be something else. And we have it because the Lord wants us to be there. Verse number 5. So Satan was unsuccessful, so he's going to try something else. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and say unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down." Hey, if you're the Son of God, put some application to that fact and cast thyself down. For it is written. Okay, so in verse number 4, we have Jesus quoting the Word of God. And then Satan decides to quote the Word of God as well. But know this, that when Satan quotes the Word of God, he's got an agenda involved. Satan never has any good plans for anybody. And so he had an agenda for this, and his agenda was actually leaving some of it out. I think false prophets do this a lot today. But the quotation of Satan is this, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." Let's go here for a second to where Satan is quoting from. Psalm 91, please. Psalm 91 and verse number 11. How many of you can quote Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12 perfectly? Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12. How many of you, without looking, can quote it perfectly? No hands? Nobody can? You know what? I can't either. You know why? Because this seems a little bit of an obscure verse. But Satan knows it. What does that tell you? Satan knows all the Bible. He does. Psalm 91 verses 11 through 12, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. And Satan left something out in his quotation to Jesus. The Bible says here, if he's going to be accurate, it says to keep thee in all thy ways. Satan leaves that out. He goes, basically, now I know there's some different wording here, but he goes, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. That's what Satan did. So he left out part of the word of God there that would keep Jesus on the right track. Now, why is it we see that in the first temptation was for Jesus' physical appetite, so that Jesus would give in to that physical appetite? The second temptation is personal gain. Okay? If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. In other words, hurt your foot. So even Satan, even the angels, was keeping the man of God there in Psalm 91 from even hurting his foot. So Satan is trying to communicate, look, the angels are going to take care of you, Jesus. You can do this. You can cast yourself down and show your great power. Show yourself that you are the Son of God. So you can prove to me and you can prove to yourself that you are something special. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, as I was thinking about this, I think the verse was quoted, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, was that Jesus himself should not tempt the Lord thy God to do something that is not the will of the Father. It would not be the will of the Father for Jesus to try to show his power to Satan or to anybody else. Now, could he have done it? Yes, he could have. He could have done this, but not for the temptation's sake. And so Jesus quotes the Bible once again, perfect tense. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That was from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse number 16, basically to show off his power for personal gain. Jesus decided this would not be the Father's will and quoted a different verse. Now, the truth is, if we're going to be able to resist Satan with verses of Scripture, we're going to have to know verses of Scripture. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, these were quotations of Jesus. Jesus wasn't like, what's that verse again? He wasn't that way. He knew the verse. Memory is important. Because there's some times where you're not going to have access to the Bible. When I am testing and turning armatures at work, I don't have a Bible with me. And honestly, sometimes that area seems to give me the most amount of temptations. When I work on motors, something about that armature area, I just don't know. I need to pray, I think, that Satan would stay away from the armature area. But I have to know verses of Scripture. If you're going to accurately resist the temptation of Satan, you're going to have to know verses of Scripture. And it's important. That's why you should read the Word of God. When God speaks to your heart through a verse, tell yourself, I need to memorize that verse. And if you truly memorize it with a passion, it will stay with you for a long time. What's also good is when the Holy Spirit of God brings a verse to your mind that you don't necessarily know perfectly, but it brings and you can pick out a few words and then you can try to Google it or do what you can to find out what that verse actually is. And then you can memorize that verse. That way you can be fully confident that you know exactly what that verse has to say. So I believe this was for personal gain. Eve actually went through these same kind of temptations there in Genesis chapter number 3. So Jesus has resisted Satan twice. I think this is an important part to recognize as well, that it's not going to be three temptations and you're done. Okay, I know I said this today, at least I think I did. I preached last Sunday elsewhere. And so it's important to realize that it's not always going to be three and you're done. You see, Satan is, he's very passionate. The more godlier you are, the harder he's going to try to trip you up. The less godly you are, the less effort he's going to give because you're already ungodly. He's going to be passionate. And like I said, sometimes it's not three times. Sometimes you'll have to resist him 3,000 times. But I've thought about this before, and I'm passionate about what I'm seeing here. When I talk about this, I always go to resisting temptation. You have to resist him like you are a soldier. A soldier keeps fighting. We can go into the New Testament. I could take you to portions of Scripture that talk about being a soldier of the Lord. We are soldiers, and we have to act like soldiers, which means that we never give up. Now, I've never been deployed. I've never been in the military. But I'm sure that when they're deployed, even when they sleep, they probably have their guns nearby in case. They're ready. They're ready for anything. We always have to be ready as well. So, two temptations now. So far, Jesus, of course, has not given in. He is impeccable. I do believe that. A lot of this was for our learning. And I think the 40 days and 40 nights were for our learning, too. We have no excuse to say, I was just weak. Well, yeah, you may have been. But I guarantee you, you weren't as weak as Jesus. And you gave in. You didn't have to. You decided to. Verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now it seems kind of crazy that Jesus would worship Satan. I think it's pretty easy to tell this was a last hurrah for Satan to try to trip up Jesus, knowing that it's not going to work. This is his weakest temptation, I think. For Jesus. But remember, Jesus is very weak, though, at the same time. But this was not the Father's will. Jesus knew that someday, and Satan knew, by the way, that someday Jesus will be the King of the world. It's called the Millennial Kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Even at this time, I guarantee Jesus and Satan both knew that one day Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years. He will do exactly what Satan's temptation is. All the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, Jesus will have them someday, but not yet. It wasn't the Father's will that he be the king yet, but he will be someday. Now, it's an interesting doctrinally here. It seems like the devil owns the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. There's a few passages of Scripture that actually back that up. Let's look at him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 4. It says, "In whom the God of this world," that's Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So here it says that Satan is the god of this world. Let's go to another one. Let's go to John chapter 12 and verse number 31. John chapter 12 and verse number 31. It says there, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world," which is Satan, he is the prince of the world, "be cast out." Let's now go to Ephesians in chapter number 2. Ephesians and chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2 says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," referring to Satan, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So Satan could have offered to Jesus all the kingdoms of this current world, but it was not that time yet for Jesus to have that. That was going to be in the future. And by the way, where is Satan going to be during the millennial kingdom? At that time, he will actually be in the bottomless pit. Now, he'll come up later to bring everybody together to fight against Jesus, I think, literally at Jerusalem, but they don't stand a chance. They'll all go to hell. The word of Jesus Christ will take them all out. Not a wise thing to do, but when you're a rebel, you're a rebel. And so they're going to do it someday. But I like especially, remember, Jesus is weak. He's extremely weak. Could have given in. But verse 10 says, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan." You know what? We don't see that anywhere else. We don't see that in the first two temptations. We see it in the third temptation, where Jesus actually gets stronger with Satan. "Get thee hence." And you know what? It doesn't surprise me. Verse number 11 says, "Then the devil leaveth him." Let's be honest. Why does the devil come back and come back and come back and come back and come back with the same temptation? Because he knows we're quite vulnerable. Fighting a sneeze here. Okay. That's why he keeps coming back. Because I think many times he thinks to himself, if I just stay at it, I'm going to get him. It's obvious here that Satan realized, I'm not going to get him. This is worthless. I hate losing. I'm going to quit. "For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." What could have Jesus have gotten from this? Power or glory? To have all these kingdoms in the world, to be the man. Now, in the future, yet, he will be the man. He will be the king. But not quite yet. But he's sinless. And so obviously he can handle that. It's not a big deal for him to be king and to be man. It's not going to go to his head, quote unquote, even though he is the Lord. So these are temptations oftentimes that we have. We have our physical appetites. We have in our flesh sometimes a desire for personal gain. I think the good thing about being a Christian and living a longer life is that God always shuts these things down to where you realize over time, it's not worth it to go for those things. They're not going to happen. Personal gain's not going to happen. Power and glory is not going to happen. You can't go for power and glory and walk with God at the same time. Now, you can go for power and glory and not walk with God. You can do that. And I think that happens quite a bit. I think a lot of false prophets do that. You want to be considered a man of God, but by people. They don't walk with the Lord at the same time. They're very selfish in what they want. They want to be praised. And so looking at this, Jesus resisted all the temptations, and he got even stronger with the last one. "Get thee hence, Satan." Satan realized, I'm done. I can't get to this guy. Hopefully we get to that point where Satan realizes, as of right now, I can't get to them. Now, maybe I can months down the road, years down the road, but as of right now, I can't get to them. I'm going to quit, and I'm going to go tempt somebody else. I love verse number 11. Now, verse number 1 and verse number 11 were comforting to me. "Then the devil leaveth him." James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So that is a promise. You got to resist him, though. And you got to keep resisting him, and keep resisting him, and keep resisting him, and keep resisting him until he leaves. And until he leaves, keep resisting him as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I always go to the soldier thing because I think it's so important. A lot of people can get discouraged. I fight against Satan. Every once out of 10 times I give in. But it's once out of 10 times. And because of that, Satan keeps coming back. Hey, as a soldier, you have got to keep fighting. But as Jesus just went through all of this, being so weak, he's in hungry. I love verse number 11. Then the devil leaveth him. That's positive. But then it says, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Sounds like to me that the angels were not ministering to him during those 40 days of fasting. I think Jesus and God did that for us. We don't have an excuse for giving in to sin because of weakness. Because we can look at Jesus and how weak he was, evidently with no help. No help from the angels. I hope I'm not going too far with that. But the angels came, it seems like, at this time, but didn't during the 40 days. And I don't think he had people around him either. Maybe he did, but it doesn't seem like it. But this can be comforting. Who's watching us during the whole time that we are fighting temptation? God is. He knows what's going on with us. We can always know he's there. I remember, this has been quite probably more than 10 years ago now. There was a time where I felt the presence of Satan. And it scared me. I was scared to death. I didn't move. Now, I'm not trying to be weird or anything. But I think a lot of times people have experienced that. They've just some places where just the presence of Satan. Now, I don't experience this every day. I don't think I've experienced it for a long time. But I could just sense the presence of Satan, and it was a scary time for me. And after that, I was so encouraged about the fact that, you know, Jesus was watching over me that whole entire time. Jesus has compassion upon us as soldiers. Let's go to John chapter 14, and this will be our last verse for today. John chapter number 14. Thankful that Jesus went through all that. But you know what? In this dispensation today, if you receive Christ as your Savior, you are immediately, the Holy Spirit comes into you and will be with you until the day of your death. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name in the future, not yet, not in that dispensation, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. But still the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is a Comforter. When we fight the battles today, we have a Comforter. So we are not alone in these battles. The Lord is watching us, and we need to be soldiers. And what an awesome time it is when the devil leaves you for a time, because he knows he's not going to get anywhere. You say, Brother Brian, I have been doing that. It is so tiring to constantly resist Satan, and he keeps coming back. I ask you, are you a soldier? You keep fighting. You keep fighting. And you keep fighting until you die. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you've given us tonight. Help us to be good soldiers of you when it comes to battling temptation. That we battle no matter where we're at. We fight against sin. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name.